Part 4. Chapter 21. Vigil. Daimas docks claimed to build them by the kilometer, and let the customer saw off the length he needed. Certainly most of their products had a basic family likeness, and Goliath was no exception. Its backbone was a single triangular spar, 150 meters long and 5 meters across each side. It would have looked incredibly flimsy to any engineer born before the 20th century. But the nanotechnology that had built it up literally carbon atom by carbon atom had given it a strength 50 times greater than the finest steel. Along this synthetic diamond spine were fixed the various modules, most of them readily interchangeable, that comprised Goliath. By far the largest items were the spherical hydrogen tanks ranged along the three sides of the spar, like peas on the outside of a pod. In comparison, the command, service, and residential modules at one end and the power and propulsion units at the other looked like afterthoughts. When he had been assigned to command Goliath, Robert Singh had looked forward to a peaceful, if possible, even boring, few years of space duty before he retired on Mars. Although he was only 70, he was definitely slowing down. Being stationed here at the T1 Trojan Point, 60 degrees ahead of Jupiter, should be almost a holiday. All that he had to do was to keep his astronomer and physicist passengers happy while they conducted their endless experiments. For Goliath was classified as a research vessel, and had been funded accordingly by the planetary science budget. So was Hercules, 1.25 kilometers away at the T2 point. Together with the Sun and Jupiter, the two ships defined an enormous diamond, which never changed its shape but revolved around the Sun once in every Jovian year of 4,333 Earth days. As the ships were linked by laser beams, whose length was known with an accuracy of better than 1 centimeter, it was an ideal arrangement for many types of scientific work. Ripples in space-time caused by colliding black holes, feats of cosmic engineering by super-civilizations, and who knew what else, might be detected by the arrays of instruments aboard Goliath and Hercules. And as receivers on the two ships could be linked together to form a radio telescope effectively more than 1 billion kilometers across, they had already been able to map remote regions of the universe with unprecedented accuracy. Nor had the researchers aboard the Trojan twins neglected the immediate neighborhood, where distances were measured in mere millions of kilometers. They had observed hundreds of the asteroids caught in this vast gravitational trap, and had made short excursions to visit many of the nearer ones. In a few years, more had been learned about the composition of these minor bodies than in the 3 centuries since they were first discovered. The uneventful routine, broken only by changes of personnel and regular returns to Deimos for inspection and updating of equipment, had now lasted more than 30 years, and few people remembered the purpose for which Goliath and Hercules had been originally built. Even their crews seldom stopped to think that they were on sentry duty like the watchers who had patrolled the windy walls of Troy 3,000 years before. But they were waiting for an enemy that Homer could never have imagined.